think this is where we were, isn't it? Slide 8, okay. Compared to my Tuesday, Thursday section, you are behind, and that's because of Labor Day. It happens every spring term. Sometimes I'm able to make up for it by going a little faster. This time it didn't happen, so I waited until I was sure, today namely, to make the determination that I'm going to have to adjust the schedule. It says that your exam is on Monday, but it'll be Wednesday. I haven't made the change yet. Don't cheer about that too much, because we still have to get all the material of the term in, which means all we're doing by making exam one later is that exam two or and beyond are going to be squeezed a little bit more. But we'll be able to make it up, don't worry. Anyway, it's technically wrong right now, but by the end of the day, whenever I get home, I'll change not only the syllabus, but the assignment schedule. The assignment schedule page on Canvas is really what you should be checking each day for dates. That'll be corrected too. And while we're at it, I might as well say that since we're getting close to the exam, you need to remember to bring in a Scantron form. Estrella no longer gives these to you for free, unfortunately, so you have to go to the bookstore and buy them. What's nice is that I think they sell them in packets of 6, which is just about right for this course. So I'm talking about the greenish ones with 50 questions on it, in case they have more than one. Make sure you show up, because I won't have any either. They don't give them to me. They don't give them to you. And to take the test, you'll need one. So try not to be one of the people who has to bum one from one of your classmates on the day of the exam. Let's finish up this water chapter. We were on 8, but without actually looking at your notes, who can tell me what slide 8 represents? What process is this? I say without looking at your notes because you should not be making the typical mistake that so many students do in this course of waiting until right before the test to study all this stuff. It's overwhelming that way. You need to be studying each night. So I wanted to see whether you're still familiar with what we spoke about last time. This is the auto-ionization of water. Right? It's auto-ionization because if you have nothing other than water, it will ionize itself, or at least some of the water molecules will. And this is what I went over. This is where I stopped last time, right, talking about auto-ionization. Just keep in mind that a couple things about auto-ionization. One is that at any given moment, you have no idea which of the water molecules in a population, in a sample of water, are going to be doing this. It changes. It's not always the same ones doing it. It changes moment to moment. But at any given moment, some of them do. The vast majority don't. So almost all of the water molecules in however big a sample you have will just be normal water molecules, like are shown on the left, and they don't ionize. But a certain small fraction of the population at any given moment in time are doing this. The second important thing is that notice, because of how I said this happens, a transfer of a proton from one to the other, it's not possible, if all you have are water molecules, to make one of these kinds of ions without also making the other kind of ion, right? You simultaneously in this process with a transfer of one particle, a proton, not the whole hydrogen atom, but a proton from one water molecule to the other, you simultaneously make two ions. Just like when we talked about sodium chloride, right? Sodium transfers one electron, that's one particle being transferred, but that single transfer simultaneously makes two ions, a positive sodium ion and a negative chloride ion. Well, here you have the same thing happening. Two ions are formed, hydronium and hydroxide. Hydronium does get formed, but hydronium can then easily give up that proton that it just received, and the proton will be by itself, just in solution. So it's really simpler to think of this happening just to one water molecule. A single water molecule can lose a proton, keep the electron of the hydrogen atom behind, which makes sense because the oxygen greedily wants it, but lose the proton, and the proton will be in solution. Well, what's left behind when the water molecule loses a proton is hydroxide, and the other ion that's formed is the proton itself, which is a hydrogen ion, an H+. So you can't produce a hydrogen ion without also producing a hydroxide ion if all you have is pure water. That's background work now for understanding what's shown in slide 9, which is the pH scale. There are many so-called P scales in science, which we invent just for convenience, including the pH scale. P scales, though, start with P. pH is just one of many P scales, and the H stands for hydrogen because it's all about hydrogen ion concentration. And you have probably noticed, you've probably studied or learned about the pH scale at least once in your history so far. You're probably familiar with the fact that the pH scale gives you an indication of acidity, how acidic a solution is. That's actually one end of the pH scale. It also can give you an indication of the opposite of acidity, which is alkalinity or basicity. We say that a solution is either acidic or basic. Another name for basic is alkaline. So that's what I meant by alkalinity. And if it's neither acidic nor basic, it's neutral, which is right in the middle of the scale. And this is really important in biology because biology, or life itself, really is the chemical reactions occurring in cells, and those chemical reactions are occurring in aqueous solution. So the chemistry of life, metabolism, is aqueous solution chemistry occurring in cells. And the pH of the solution affects how or whether those reactions actually occur, and therefore very important to life. More about that in a minute, but I want to explain the scale itself. Because there's a couple important things about the scale. One is that it is a logarithmic scale, not a linear scale. In a linear scale, like a meter stick, for instance, every step that looks the same to your eyes is actually the same size. Every centimeter is the same on a meter stick. But in a logarithmic scale, it'll be drawn so that there are divisions that look the same size to your eye, but actually each one is 10 times bigger than the one before it. And that's what P scales are all about. They're logarithmic scales that are drawn just to contain a very wide range of values in a small space. Logarithms, you've probably studied, you've learned about logarithms at least once in your math classes throughout your scholastic history, but few people actually use logarithms often, day to day. And so you probably, even if you've learned it, are not well practiced with logarithms. Let me first say that there are infinitely many bases. You can choose a base to use in a logarithm, and base here doesn't have anything to do with acidity. I'm just talking about the numeric base of a logarithm. But two commonly used logarithmic bases are the natural base, which is E, and so those are called natural logarithms, which we usually use ln as an abbreviation for, or 10. 10 is often used base also for humans because we think there's something special about the number 10. It's really just that we have 10 digits, so we think in base 10. But anyway, any given logarithm scale has to have a base that it's in reference to. Now, for any given number, say x, be any number, the logarithm of that number x is the exponent that you have to raise the base to in order to equal that number, x. So since if we're talking about the base 10 log, which we usually write just as LOG, but you can write it as even more explicitly as log with a 10 as a subscript to say that 10 is the base. The base 10 log of x is the number that you have to raise 10 to as an exponent in order to equal that x. Does that make sense? Let's use some examples to hopefully make it make sense. So what is the log of 10? Well, I guess it didn't make sense the way I just described it. The log of 10 is the number that you have to raise 10 to as an exponent in order to equal 10. So what is that number? In other words, 10 equals 10 to the what power?
1.
The log of 10 is 1. What about 100? Two, because 100 is 10 squared. So the log of 100 is 2 because you have to raise 10, the base, to the second power in order to equal that number. Everyone get that? What about 10,000?
Four.
Because 10,000 is 10 to the fourth. So the log of 10,000 is that exponent that you have to raise the base to, 4. Well, what about 1?
Negative 1.
Not negative 1. Not point 1. 1 equals 10 to the what is really what, you, what you're saying when you ask what is the log of 1.
Zero.
Right, 0. Any non-zero number raised to the 0 power equals 1. So the log of 1 is 0. Now you said 1/10 as a guess. That would be the log of 10 to the negative 1, right? 10 to the negative 1 is the same as 1 over 10, or 1/10. So the log of that is negative 1. The log of 1/100th would be negative 2, and so on. You still uncomfortable with logs, or can I go on? Okay, if you don't stop me, I'm going to assume that you know this. So don't be afraid to stop me. All right, now, you've probably noticed when you've already learned about the pH scale that it's centered on the number 7. There are pHs lower than that numerically, under 7, and that means the solution that you're measuring the pH of is more and more acidic the lower the number gets. So solutions with a pH below 7 numerically are acidic. Those above 7, pH above 7, are the opposite. They're alkaline. Okay? And you might have said, who thought it was a good idea to choose 7 as the middle of the scale? Seems like a weird number. Well, that's not actually just someone's choice. That is from a true measurement of water, of pure water. All right? First, to make sense of that middle, let me give you a mathematical definition of pH. pH of a solution equals the negative base 10 logarithm of the hydrogen ion concentration. And we denote symbolically concentration by putting the thing in brackets. So just this part of it by itself, brackets with H plus in it, means hydrogen ion concentration. Okay? The log of that is the base 10 log of whatever that concentration's number is. And the pH is the negative of that log. So that's the definition for any solution for pH. Now about the 7. When you actually have pure water, there's nothing else, no other kind of molecules there, just pure water, and you make a real measurement of the hydrogen ion concentration, which there's always going to be some hydrogen ions because of auto ionization, right? Autoionization creates hydrogen ions. So in a real pure water sample, you can measure an actual hydrogen ion concentration. And if you do that, then the hydrogen ion concentration, which is the H plus bracket, is equal to 10 to the negative 7th molar, or 10 to the negative 7th moles per liter, which if you wrote that in standard notation would be 0.000001 molar. That's a real measurement. That's not something that we're inventing. Okay, so if you have 10 to the negative 7th as the concentration, what is the log of that? You just let me go on and say that you just implied that you understood logs. What is the log of 10 to the negative 7th? No. What is the log in general? What does log mean that I just said? How do you figure out the log of a number? The base 10 log. What do you mean by that? Okay, that's the answer. But what is the definition of log now that I've asked that question again? How did you get there? What does it mean to take the log of a number? If x is a number, what is the log of x? What did I say at the beginning of this lecture? The log is the number that you have to raise the base to as an exponent in order to equal the number. Okay? If the base is 10, which it is in what we're doing right now, it's the base 10 log, then what is the log of 10 to the negative 7th? Does this not make any sense? Well, answer either yes or no when I'm asking a question. Don't just be in silence. That's not an answer. Is the answer no, this does not make any sense? You just non-answered me again. Does it make sense to anyone?
Yeah, but I'm just trying to figure out the negative. The negative throws me off.
Well, tell me what the log is in general. What does it mean to compute the log? How do you do it? What is it? Okay, and the base is what? No, the base is 10, if we're talking about the base 10 log. All right? So if you had 3, what would the log of 3 be? Well, it would be the number that you have to raise 10 to in order to equal 3. Okay? So what number do you have to raise 10 to have it equal 10 to the negative 7th? Negative 7. Right. 10 to the negative 7th equals 10 to the negative 7th. Do you see that? What is the log of 10 to the 15th? 15, because you have to raise 10 to the 15th in order to equal 10 to the 15th. That's the pattern. Is that more clear?
Yeah.
Okay, so the log of 10 to the negative 7th is negative 7. We devised P scales to be negative log scales so that we don't have to always write these negative numbers we're dealing with. So P scales are designed for numbers that are very small, we know the numbers are always going to be very small values, because 0.000001 is a very small number. 10 to the negative 7th is tiny. Okay? The log of that is going to be negative 7, but the negative sign is inconvenient to write over and over. So we define the pH as the negative log. If the log is negative 7, the negative log is 7. That's why the pH scale is centered on 7, because that's a real measurement from real water. And in real water, because you can't make one kind of ion without making the other, you can't make hydrogen ions without making hydroxide ions, pure water is always going to have exactly the same concentration of hydrogen ions as hydroxide ions. And that's neither basic nor acidic. Okay, it's neutral. But as far as the concentration of those hydrogen ions is concerned, the negative log of that concentration is 7, and that's why the scale is centered on 7. You can go down numerically from there, and that makes the solution more acidic. An acidic solution is one that has a greater concentration of hydrogen ions than it has hydroxide ions. You can't have that in water, right? Because if you make one kind of ion, you're making the other kind as well. You can't have an imbalance. But acidic solutions are not pure water. They're solutions. Water is the solvent, and you have other things in there as well. And those other things produce additional hydrogen ions. That's what makes the solution overall acidic. So an acid is not a solution. The solution can be acidic, but an acid is a compound that contains hydrogen. And that if you put that compound into water, it will dissociate. It'll no longer be the compound. The compound will lose a proton. And so you have two things in solution. Whatever is left after the proton is removed, which depends on the acid, and then the protons themselves, which are hydrogen ions. Remember, proton, H+, and hydrogen ion are all interchangeable terms. They all mean exactly the same thing. So an acid is something that increases the concentration of hydrogen ions in what will be the solution at that point when you've mixed it with water. And therefore, well, water had already some hydrogen ions because of autoionization of water. The acid adds more hydrogen ions, but without also adding hydroxide ions. And therefore, in an acidic solution, there is a greater concentration of hydrogen ions than there is hydroxide ions. Does that make sense, putting it that way? So what makes it acidic, really, the solution acidic, is not the hydrogen ions from water. They're balanced by hydroxide ions that water also produces. What makes it acidic is that in addition to those hydrogen ions that water produces, you also have more hydrogen ions from the acid compound itself. And let's say that you add an acid to water, and it increases the hydrogen ion concentration tenfold, meaning that water starts out with 10 to the negative 7th molar. What would the concentration be that is 10 times stronger? What is 10 times stronger, 10 times as strong as a concentration as 10 to the negative 7th? Ten to the negative 7th is 0.601. What is 10 times bigger than that?
10 to the negative 6?
Right. If you move this decimal point one to the right, you have 0.000001 molar, which is 10 to the negative 6th molar. Right? 10 to the negative 7th is 1 over 1 followed by 6 zeros. 10 times bigger than that is 1 over 10 to follow, I mean 1 followed by 5 zeros, which is 10 to the negative 6th. You see that? When you go from 10 to the negative 7th to 10 to the negative 6th, it's 10 times bigger. That's because you've added acid to it, as I said. That increases it. Well, if the new solution, now that you have the acid in there, has a hydrogen ion concentration that's 10 to the negative 6th molar, the log of that would be what? Don't be afraid to say it. You should speak as loudly as I am whenever you're answering questions so that everyone can hear. What did you say? What are you guessing it is?
-6.
Right. The log of 10 to the negative 6th is negative 6. But the pH is the negative log, and therefore that is 6, right? So by getting 10 times as strong because of hydrogen ion concentration, the pH goes from 7 to 6. That's why acids have lower pH than 7, and the lower the number gets numerically, that stronger and stronger the acid is. And it's because it's defined as a negative log. pH of 6 corresponds to 10 to the negative 6th molar, which is 10 times bigger than 10 to the negative 7th. Okay, a pH of 7. Bases are compounds that have OH in them, plus other stuff, and when you put those into water, the OH breaks off, and therefore, in addition to the hydroxide or OH that you have from water itself, you have more OHs from the base that you put in it, and therefore, the overall solution has a higher concentration of hydroxide than hydrogen ions. So numerically, higher than 7 corresponds to lower and lower concentration of hydrogen ions, because as that base adds hydroxide ions, some of those hydroxide ions will simply pair up with hydrogen ions that came from water to reform water. It's the reverse of the autoionization of water. When you get hydroxide and hydrogen ions together, you can make a water molecule again. And so the hydroxides from bases take away more and more hydrogen ions, and therefore the hydrogen ions concentration gets lower and lower, which numerically on the pH, the negative log of those lower and lower numbers will be higher and higher. That's why it works the way it does. It's not that we just decided 7 was a good number to use for the middle. Slide 10 shows you several different familiar solutions, most of them food, some of them not food, but just to give you an idea of where they stand on the scale. But because this is a logarithmic scale, it looks like the jump in each step is the same size, but like I said, it's really 10 times bigger or 10 times smaller than the one above or below it. So to go from 7, pH of 7 to pH of 6, that's a 10-fold increase in the hydrogen ion concentration. To go from 7 to 5 is not a 20-fold increase. That would be a linear scale. This is not a linear scale. From 7 to 5 is a 2-order-of-magnitude increase. So pH of 5 has a 100 times higher concentration of hydrogen ions than 7 does. And if you go to 4, that's 1,000 times higher. Each of these steps is 10 times bigger than the one below it. That's how logarithmic scales work. And so notice the gastric juice, for instance, the stuff that your stomach produces, is a pH of 2 or even lower. Sometimes it can be even lower. That's very acidic stuff, which is good. That makes your stomach the most inhospitable place on your body as far as things, living things that might do you harm, possible pathogens like bacteria, for instance. It's a good place to put them if you want to kill them, which is what you do throughout the day. Bacteria are coming in through your mouth. They get into your airway. The mucus gets swept up to your mouth and you swallow throughout the day. That's putting those things into the stomach. And most species can't tolerate that high acidity, that low pH. So they're killed and ends up not hurting you. But let's look at 11. Explain why this generally is important in biology. I said that pH is very important, and it is not just for us, for all organisms. This photograph obviously is of a forest that is not healthy. These trees are not doing well. And they're not doing well because of acid rain, acid precipitation, whether it's snow or rain. Acidified water, not neutral water, normal rain, but acidified water is falling on the forest. We've talked about homeostasis, and there's all kinds of variables, each one individually, that need to be maintained as part of overall homeostasis. But there are two variables that are particularly important. They're all important, but these two variables are very important, and those are temperature and pH. The reason that those are particularly important is because either one of them individually, a change in either one of them, either too high or too low based on normal, can drastically change the shape of proteins. Proteins do all the important jobs, as I've said, in cells. There's all kinds of proteins that have a hugely wide range of functions, but any given protein works the way it does, whatever that particular protein does, it works because of its particular shape. And if it does not have that shape, which can change, it will not do its job. And the organism will not be able to function properly or will die. You don't have to change the temperature much, either high or low, and you don't have to change the pH much, either high or low, for that shape change to be drastic, and therefore the proteins will lose function. And that's what happens as part of acid rain. It happens because of things that we put into the air, which doesn't have to be anywhere near here. It can be a totally different place geographically where the pollutants are put in, but air moves around. And so the rain will be acidified and fall in a different place and ruin that forest, which is a big deal because when you're talking about hurting forests, you're talking about hurting the producers ecologically, and we consumers cannot exist without them. So it's bad for the trees directly, but it's bad for everything else indirectly. Typically, it's caused by things like sulfur-containing compounds, which you have a lot in diesel fuel, for instance. Factories will spew out sulfur-containing compounds, but so do diesel engines from trucks. When that meets up with the water that's naturally in the air, the humidity, it will undergo chemical reaction that forms sulfuric acid. And so the rain is an acidic solution rather than just pure water. Okay, now that's that chapter. Any questions on that before I switch recordings? Okay, that's...